and then my fingers got really smelly, and it bothered me, so I had to go wash my hands. Then I had a snack.
All right.
Oh my god. Wait, it's like, did you see JR just then? I don't know. Do you have the game on?
Oh, yeah. I saw him. I glanced up. So I have it live. So I'm like, you know, a couple seconds ahead of you.
He actually, the face I saw just then, it was like eyes bugged out. If you had put the hashtag like good crack there, it would have been completely appropriate. It was terrifying.
No. Who was he interviewing? Okay. So the Blues have like basically this child with a rare genetic disorder.
Aaron or something. Or...
And he was in the pregame of, I want to say, whatever game was during the week last week, interviewing them in the stands, her and her family. And his face was bright red, waxy as hell, just like zoned the fuck out. And his like thinking on his feet is just completely horrible. Like,
he's really bad at the job.
Oh, so like he asked her to like say, you know, whatever, like what this means to you or all that. And she gives her response and he just kind of goes like, that's why we love children. And then he just like kind of grabs her. And it's like, my God, that's. Say, that's why we love the game, or that's why we love your spirit, or like, that's why, you know, people like this team.
Yeah, that's it right there.
And then get real uncomfortable and just wrap your arms around this, you know, this young lady's been through like a whole lot. I don't know what his liquor of choice is or what it smells like.
It's probably whatever is nearest, and like a lot of coffee.
I guess we've started.
Fucking right.
And now, these gender-bending superstars.
All right.
Attaboy, Johnny, eat up, bud.
One more, Tiny.
Kramer's a fucking bitch, eh? Eat up, bud.
That was pretty greasy there.
God, fuck.
Nice, boys. Hey,
it's our fucking water bottle. Don't fucking touch it.
I don't do that. I don't do that.
Yeah, toe caps look really shiny.
Because everyone complains that, like, the NHL doesn't have, like, an engaging off-ice sort of media experience with, you know, intermission or, like, you know, people talking good shit in the post-game. The sort of golden standard is the NBA one. Because you get, you know, Shaq and Barkley, and they're both big as fuck and salty as hell about everything always. The NHL's impression or like their sense of what it is to have like an engaging personality is just like a total hockey fuck up. It's like we got Milbury, we got JR, they're the wacky guys. It's like they're not the wacky guys. These guys have like, you know, I think they have serious cognitive and or substance issues. It's not that they have like engaging personalities. It's that like there's something wrong with these people.
Yeah. Maybe it's from the kind of the Don Cherry, you know, where that was the example for if you wanted to craft a hockey personality. And they're all, I mean, if you put Roenick and Milbury together, you pretty much have Don Cherry.
I give Don Cherry more credit than that.
Than being a Milbury Roenick hybrid. The poor Sharks. Although St. Louis hasn't made it to a final since 1970. 1970. That's sad. I mean, they deserve it, but the Sharks. This has got to be one of their more hurting deep playoff runs.
This is a pretty Sharksy way to go.
You need the Blues to win and stay healthy. There are only hope against Boston. Because even though I did want the Sharks. Just because I do like the old man winning a cup story. I like that. I think that's compelling. But I do really want to see, I'm telling you, Braden Schenn is going to go off in the cup finals. he's gonna like turn it up to a level you haven't seen before. He's gonna be the guy probably to take out Marchand.
He's getting suspended in game two for the most egregious charging you've ever seen.
Yeah.
You mean like he scores a goal in game one. But it's not even gonna be, because it's Braden Shen. So it's not even gonna be like a strategic, like, I'm gonna go kill Marchand, I'm gonna go.
It's gonna be almost an accident.
Well, yeah, but he's not gonna like take out Bergeron or Marchand or run the goalie, you know, knock out Rask or anything. He's gonna fucking kill Grizzlick.
That's it. Get out of my head.
And he's gonna get suspended for killing Grizzlick.
Well, and then he's never gonna be welcome in Boston again, because isn't that like Boston's own? How many cops do you think are in Grelchek's family?
Grelchek? I think he's... I think it's a true success story because he eschewed the family's cop traditions.
Oh, God. Oh, heavens no. Well, I could see, too, Gruslick could be the kind of guy where after the playing career, then he, you know, he puts on the blue. And he's... That is like... At heart, you know, he's like, I'll always be a Bruin, but there's like one more uniform I need to wear, and it's just like the feel-good story.
He did it without even being Irish. We're going to be final soon, and then after that, you know, we're probably two episodes away from the real exciting part of the hockey season. Prospects and when the money comes out, that's the real. Yeah. That's what you watch hockey for, is when the wallets open up. Get to see Matt Duchene get that Bugatti.
Bukkake? Who's going to Bukkake Matt Duchene?
That's, I think, actually, if the Bruins win the Cup, that's what the parade's going to be. Because they're tired of champion. They got to mix it up. They've had so many championship parades lately in that city. They got to get people engaged again. So, yeah.
Oh, man. Hey. And fucking, I'm gonna go to Bukkake. It's a Bukkake.
Hockey Bukkake.
It's like, oh, the hockey Bukkake. Exactly, the hockey Bukkake. Going down, me Tommy, and with Billy, we're gonna go down.
Finally, I can show that big stud Zdeno Chara what he means to me.
Yeah.
This is gonna get you back in jail.
Shit.
Good work on good work on breaking out. By the way, I mean, it's good to have you. You know, not in San Bernardino anymore.
There was one of the female guards. I got her pregnant. The one thing that with Shen, and I don't know how he hasn't like broken his wrist more, or like, I don't know, gotten more roughing penalties, is the way he hits. It's like how a lineman explodes off the line. He's got just like his two fists, like just right under his chin. And he just goes, like, full speed with, like, fists right into, like, whoever's chest or head or anything else. Never, like, with the shoulder. Not a big hitting with the shoulder. He's, like, two gloves, like, right on your chin. And that's just how he plays the game.
It's like there's absolutely no technique at all.
No. There's none.
And it's funny because it's not that way with anything else with this game. Like, He's a skilled player. He's not a particularly smart player, but he has the concept of, like, this is how good NHL players score goals, make decent passes, you know, even pinch, you know, angle towards the play, everything, approach it. But once it comes to that one aspect of the game is, like, the getting physical part, Braden Shen
gets so excited for physical contact. He just, everything else is out the window.
The reason I said the charge is because I was thinking back to that dramatic game three of the 2012 Flyers Penguins, where he comes in. Who is a defenseman? I want to say it was Martin. It might have been Letang. Whoever it was, he comes, you know, Shen just comes in flying, but he just like launches so hard, so vertically, like probably like a 30 degree angle his body gets to.
Yeah.
Straight to the like shoulders and head. And that's when Asham came in and like belted him in the throat. You can't really defend Asham at all for that play, but it's one of those things, like Asham gets suspended for it, and then, you know, we as Flyers fans are gonna go like, oh, I can't believe, you know, what a turncoat. I always thought Aaron Asham had higher standards, but you look at that hit again and you go, turned into a salmon.
Yeah.
It was like a big fucking salmon going into this hit.
Has Shen self-concussed before?
Brayden Shen's never been concussed.
Oh, true. All right. Well, has he ever, I wonder, like, you know, prompted a visit to the quiet room by missing on a hit like that? Because there's no way he's going to do any worse than his baseline.
No. Well, do you recall the game, it probably 4 seasons ago, where it was like Wilson was still, it was before the emergence of Tom Wilson, like goal scorer, but like Wilson just blasted him like classic boarding.
Yeah.
Hard as fuck. Like you see his neck snap back and everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he gets up and he takes probably 8 strides towards the bench, falls down, gets up, takes 2 more, falls down again.
Throws up down the front of his jersey.
I want to say that was a back-to-back. If not, they played, you know, the regular 2 nights later. And he was in the lineup.
Of course.
And there is no question in my mind. Like, there is no regular non-Shen human being. We don't know about Luke. We didn't get enough of a sample size on Luke to see what his skull tolerance is.
Right.
Haha.
Loves the skull.
But yeah, Brayden took that hit that looked like there is no human being alive that takes that contact at that speed, at that angle, and their brain does not smash violently into their skull.
Yeah.
And concuss them significantly. But yeah, it was just it was not as, because the NHL's been on like a gradient improving with the concussion protocol, but it's still laughable. But they were further along than they had been at that point, and it was still like, no question, he's in. Yeah.
Berube probably just snapped his fingers in front of Brayden, and like if he blinked, he just turns and like looks at the training staff, like arms out, like, see, he's fine. It's not. He's just got, you know, very stable cognitive function. It's tough to disrupt, you know? He's like a Swiss watch, pretty much.
And the ladies love him.
They do. They really do. I like to, a lot of times, you know, his belly comes out, and he's one of the shirtless under the pads thing. I think, going back to the football stuff, like, if he could, he would tuck the bottom of his jersey up into his shoulder pads and just run around exposed torso.
Oh yeah, definitely not a Sox guy. Good for just like a completely boneheaded offsides every game, maybe every other game. One where it's like, if you have any understanding of the way hockey flows, you know that the play is about to be offside or already is, but he's still like 8 feet into the zone, like tapping his stick real hard, like, where's the fucking puck, guys? Come on, I'm open. You know, like, well, the whistle's already blown, Brayden. But
like,
he's a thoroughbred.
I always had a soft spot for Shen. He's also the type of guy that's going to accidentally loogie on himself. Yeah, like, once a game, he's just accidentally loogieing on the crest of his jersey or, like, in his, like, his glove. But not, like, inside the glove or on the outside. No one wants to sit next to him on the plane.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. And I'm sure I bet he gets on an airplane and watches season 1, episode 1 of Entourage every fucking time. And he's like, and he asks guys, like, have you seen this show? I'm just starting this show. This show looks great. And they're like, yeah, man, you watched the first episode of this maybe 48 times this season. Like, come on, dude. And he's like, yeah, but isn't this so us? This man is, yeah, Brayden Shen is going to be 17 until he dies.
Yep.
And well, he's going to outlive almost anyone.
That's why I'm super glad too that he is like pretty much injury proof on a large scale, because I want to see like 38 year old Brayden Shen in the NHL doing stupid stuff, like the type of plays that, like, you know, no 18-year NHL veteran has any business making that Brayden Shen still does. Just like, and with Berube still as his coach, and
you're gonna see him. playing for the Houston hard hitters or, you know, wherever Phoenix ends up in 2029, like back checking against Seattle, other, you know, Seattle's got a 2-on-1 stud defenseman back there as your lone guy back. And Shen's going to come roaring up and like 36, 37 years old, throw his stick, glove on the ice from 18 feet out, try and slide it straight at the puck carrier, right at, you know, that's a play I see. We'll write this down if we're both still alive in 2029. This play will have happened.
Yeah, it will.
That was a lot of Shen talk.
Well, there's a lot to cover. He's a very complex character.
Here's a complete switch. It's got two strands. The first is this. I saw an Eklund rumor.
Weed?
I saw an Eklund rumor. Before I even get into it, I have this problem where I'm so imbued in hockey internet where like the phrase E5 has like a meaning to me outside of it. So like if someone asks me like, you think it's going to rain tomorrow? I'm like, yeah, there's like an E5 on that. Do you have that problem?
With the E system?
Yeah.
I don't. I used to take the E's very seriously because Eklund had so much clout for me after Forsberg. Whereas like, because he was first on that, undeniably. He broke that. No one had any clue. I don't know how he did it. But then after that, that's like really all he needed. And then it's like, oh, wow, it's an E4? Wow. Getting my hopes up.
Have you ever considered the possibility that Eklund is actually Peter Forsberg?
I have on a couple of occasions. And that's why Forsberg always had that kind of sly sort of look on his face. Yeah, look at me. I'm good at hockey. I'm beautiful. Of course, I'll be a little coy in front of the cameras, but it's that instead he's actually Eklund churning the NHL rumor mill in the blogosphere.
Log on every now and then and go like, Jerome Iginla, NHL return, going to the Red Wings. E3, yep. What's up? Let it burn.
Probably my favorite Eklund thing is at like the end of most blogs, he's like, all right, I'm going to have like more later this afternoon. And then there's never anything more. It's like, you don't have to put that there.
Well, it might be just like a complete and total, like he might have laid the blueprint for internet gaslighting. Maybe he's like the prototype for Jacob Wall.
I don't know, who's Jacob Wall?
You are so goddamn lucky. Oh, yeah. The rumor was Subban for Kessel.
Oh, God. I would hate that trade because I just don't want Subban on the Penguins.
So let's ignore that aspect and just focus on how good of a sitcom Phil Kessel and Peter Laviolette would be.
I think it'd be great. I think they'd actually get along really well. It would be like the perfect odd couple.
Yeah, that's where, why it's good sitcom material.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Kessel doesn't have a place to live, so he moves in with Laviolette. Also, for the eating, too. I think that's why Kessel would be great there. Sort of like how Andy Reid found a perfect home in Kansas City, just eating fucking barbecue spare ribs. Like, Kessel can have his barbecue and his hot chicken and whatever else and go to town.
It even happened to Lobby, though. Because, like, Lobby went from probably, like, a 36-38 waist in Philly to, like, a 44, I want to say, in Nashville.
You could never find any good blow in Nashville.
Oh, no. There? Because you've got to remember, Nashville is entertainment and the music industry. You're not doing that without a solid, like...
up the nasal.
Also, Phil Kessel would look awesome with a belt buckle. I'd like to see him embrace his hairlessness and just grow like the Hulk Hogan thing where it just starts growing down from the back of his skull to his shoulders and he also gets a mustache. I mean, him in like a dirty plaid shirt, which he has plenty of, like ripped jeans, a giant belt buckle. Yeah, Phil Kessel would look great like that.
Let's take that rumor and give it no grains of salt, which it deserves. That's all you can do with that. I would just pretend that the Penguins didn't exist. Shit, do you have a 2006-2007 flyer for me to continue the illustrious game?
Ghosts of Last Place.
It's currently 2-1 you.
6'5", 245
Holy defenseman. Shit.
Yeah, defenseman played 3 games, no goals, no assists, -3 averaged 4 minutes and 40 seconds.
Hit me with the Corsi on this on this massive, massive 3-game, 4-minute defenseman.
Corsi 6.
.9 How is that possible?
Don't worry about it.
So I know Fedoruk was on the team. I don't know if they slotted him back there.
No, so he has the same last name as an Entourage star.
Well, I don't know anyone on Entourage other than Jeremy Piven. So well, is Jeremy Piven over 240 pounds?
No, Jeremy Piven did not get that big. He's never been renowned as Method. He's currently 38.
So that puts him in his early 20s at the time.
26, so your math is alright-ish.
Questionable at best. Yeah. Shit.
Canadian.
No shit. I don't want to go to initials yet, because that seems like a nuclear option.
Yeah. I mean,
any other NHL experience?
Phoenix and Vancouver. He played a total of 18 games in the NHL. He did pretty well. He had an 05-06, so the year before that, he put up 278 PIMs for the Hartford Wolfpack. This is a real rocker here. In 98-99, as an 18-year-old with the Quebec Rempart, 479 PIMs in 60 games.
Holy shit. And Danny Gauthier was there the year before and played significantly more games.
I'll give you the first name if you want to try and think hard.
Sure. Give me the number and the first name.
Number is 32. It's Martin.
Oh, fuck. I know who you're talking about, and I don't know his name. And you're going to say it, and I'm going to kill myself.
Should have watched more Entourage with Schenner. You're looking for Martin Grenier.
Yeah, and we got to do a Furbs this week. I actually didn't even consider who it might be for me, who the fucking right boy.
I got mine.
Okay, you go ahead.
Correctional Officer Amanda Bynes. Got me out. Got me off and got me out. Not sure if there's a relation or if it is the Amanda Bynes, but yeah, that's my fucking right boy. C.O. Bynes.
As I already said, best of luck to you and her with the new family.
Thank you.
So for me, it will be Craig Berube. He is now our last hope. It somehow in a sick, this is what being a Philadelphia Flyers fan is. In this sick way, that is our last hope against the Boston Bruins. And also yep. he got his coaching career in St. Louis and extended for at least another 30 games in the next year. team comes out 10-15 and 5, we'll reevaluate. But that's it. Craig Berube, fucking right. That is volume 4 of Furbs, fucking right boys, a hockey conversation. Shout out to National Pod for retweeting all our stuff and letting us be on their website. I just felt like I'd throw that in because I have a small cosign there and might as well.
Well, at least a willing internet presence, but if they're giving us a cosign, they probably have never listened to this podcast. Can they be held liable for this? Next time, send me a link to their legal team.
Yeah, I don't think the relationship extends that deep.
We'll see.
Until the Stanley Cup Finals, as always, anyone who beats Boston is a hero. And if Craig Berube wins the Cup, as coach of the St. Louis Blues, I'm going to get his face tattooed over my face.
About damn time.
Fucking right, boys. Fucking right, boys. 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 Fucking right, boys. 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 Fucking right, boys.